Hey friends, welcome to my Tuesday update video. I trust you're having a great day. I am still in Florida, last day in Florida, and we'll be headed back to New England tomorrow. And all is good. Hey, a few quick housekeeping things, and then I want to continue my little mini series on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Number one, if you're on my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there. Check out the links below. Let me quickly tell you about my ministry mentoring group as well. I have a group from the US, folks from Canada, Ireland, and France now who are gathering every month online. And we just go into a journey about ministry, a journey about discovering your call. It's a time of equipping. And I take about 20 videos every month from my ministry school, make it available to that group. So if you feel you've got a call for ministry and you want to move forward in that, that would be a really great place to grow. There is a special introductory price, I think it's $5 for the first month, on my website. Check out the links below. Lastly, do subscribe, sign up for our email newsletter. It goes out once a week, and I know that would be a blessing to you.
Boom.
Good. So I've been talking for a few days about righteousness, and I actually began, and I really encourage everybody to read the book, The Two Kinds of Righteousness by E.W. Kenyon. One of the best books on righteousness I have ever heard, ever read. And I really want to encourage you to think that through as well, that the church needs to come back to the message of proclaiming the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The church gets so far at times from the original gospel. Paul says in Romans, and I really encourage you to read through Romans. What does he say? He says many things in Romans. He says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the good news, the gospel of Jesus. It's the power of God to salvation, sozo, salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom. To everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. And he says, in the gospel, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. And then he quotes Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. The just will live by faith. And really, every problem you're ever going to have, you'll find the answer to that problem in the declaration of the gospel. You don't need deliverance, you don't need inner healing, you don't need magic dust, you don't need this ministry and that ministry. What you need is the cross. What you need is the gospel. And there's no problem that you have that Jesus didn't deal with, that Jesus didn't reconcile, that Jesus didn't put pay to on the cross of Calvary. And on the cross of Calvary, what Martin Luther called the great exchange took place, where Jesus took your sin. He who knew no sin became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took upon him the sins and the very nature, the bent of sin that Adam, through one man, sin came into the world. Jesus took that sin that through the one man, Christ Jesus, righteousness would be made available anyway to everybody in the world. And it's so vital that we catch that. And I don't think the church has realized the incredible transformative power of righteousness. I think at times we've looked at righteousness as one subject amongst many. And I really believe that the root cause of basically every kind of piece of brokenness of pathology really comes down to a lack of revelation of that one word, righteousness. It seems that instead of preaching the cross, instead of preaching sin and the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus, that the church has started talking about issues and hang-ups and problems and personality quirks. And that's why we get into self-help. I don't need to help myself. I'll give you a clue. You can't help yourself. You can't pull yourself up by your spiritual bootstraps and get to God. Yeah, you need a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. This is water, by the way. Glorious. So what I want to do real quick today, I want to talk with you guys about our our identity of righteousness. I believe we have an identity of righteousness that is it's a standing. It's not anything to do with what we do and what we do not do. You know, I am an American citizen. I have here, since I've traveled here with my passport, and sometimes I've traveled with my British passport. I'm in the process of getting a French passport, but I have an American passport. And I know I used to come to America all the time as a non-American. And it was always intimidating to walk through. They really don't make it easy, as they should, when people cross the boundary, the frontiers to come into America. And they really question you at times for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes and interrogate you, so to speak. And, you know, about 18 months ago, together with my wife, we became an American. We stepped into citizenship of this kingdom. And it doesn't matter whether I feel American. You may look at me today and say, Graham, you don't sound American. And I go, right on. I know I don't. But I am American. I've been declared American. I have an identity as an American. And it's so vital that we realize this. You've gotten an identity as a righteous one. Righteousness is not simply like a gift God has given you. It is a gift God has given you, obviously. But it's not simply like a token. It's not a possession. It is a core identity. And I want to read real quick with you today in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see. Verse 17. Paul says, I say this therefore and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. If you underline your Bible and underline that, the futility of their mind, having their understanding, underline the word understanding, the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned, underline the word learned, learn Christ, if indeed you've heard him, underline the word heard, and have been taught by him, underline the word taught, as the truth is in Christ Jesus, underline the word truth. It's interesting, Paul's talking a lot here about the mind. He's talking about hearing, about learning, about being taught, and about embracing truth. And then he says in verse 22, that you put off, let's go back to verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard of him and have been taught by him the truth that is in Christ Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conducts the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man who was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. He says, put on the new man. And I want you to catch that today. God calls you a new man. I know you may be watching this saying, Graham, I'm a lady. I know you're a lady, but you're a new man. Male and female. In the original first Adam, God separated the female from the male. In Christ, there's no male or female. We've been put back together again. And you are a new person. You have a new identity. You've been created. You've been recreated righteous in the eyes of God. And I want you to just grasp that simple truth today. It will transform your life as you continue this journey of righteousness. Say that I am a righteous one. I am a righteous one. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can pull your passport, figuratively speaking, out, issued by heaven, and says, this is who God says I am. I am righteous. Let me finish with this. But the key concept in the Old Covenant was really performance. God said, if you do this, I will bless you. If you do this, I will curse you. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. The key concept in the New Covenant is identity. The Old Covenant says, if you'll do this, you'll be this. If you'll walk righteously, you're a righteous one. The problem was nobody made it. Nobody could ever do it. There is none righteous, no, not one, Romans says. In the New Covenant, things get reversed. In the New Covenant, here's how it works. God says, I have declared you, heaven has declared you to be righteous. You are righteous. And then he says, walk out that righteousness, live out that righteousness. So God has made us righteous, but there's something we must do. There's the imperative form of the verb used there in verse 24. Put on the new man. created after him in righteousness and true holiness. How? By being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And there is a work, there is a labor, there is an effort we need to do. We don't work for our salvation, rather we work out our salvation. And it's vital that we learn to renew our mind. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we're not conformed to the world. Remember, we talked there about the world's thinking, the world's understanding. If you think like the world thinks, you will act like the world acts, you'll be like the world is. And God says, I want you, I've made you a new person, but I want to teach you to think as I think. Hey, in tomorrow's lesson, I'm going to continue on that, on how to think like a righteous one, how to think the thoughts of God. It's going to be really great. Guys, have a great day wherever you are at. Remember, hit that subscribe button. And do check out my ministryschool.net. Lots of great courses that are available on our school, including our live mentoring session we do once a month. I know that will be a blessing to you. Cheering you on as you walk with the Kings. If you are in New England, love to see you. I'll be ministering this coming Sunday morning at Sturbridge Worship Center, 10 a.m., New England Fellowship at 4 p.m. Let me quickly tell you about some upcoming travel as well. I'm going to be in Ireland, in the nation of Ireland. I think I've got one date open in the nation of Ireland in the month of May. And I'm going to be in France and back in Belgium again in the month of April. Excuse me, I'm going to be Ireland in March. And France and Belgium in the month of April. So I'm going to have a hacked out ministry tour of Belgium for 5 days. Be doing 7 churches in 5 days. So. Really looking forward to that. Bonjour à tous mes amis en Belgique. Have a great day, guys. A plus. Bye for now.